Welcome to the table. This is Sunday Spread, your one-stop shop for NFL news, hot takes, and weekly bets, where we break bread and everybody eats. My name is Brian Bracey, and if you hear that chip, 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 that means our boy is back.
I'm back.
I'm out here yelling in y'all speaker. My bad. We in the building. People are probably in the other offices like, what the hell is going on over there?
Back like I never left.
Like he never left. Mans is back. They tried to kidnap him over there.
They tried to kidnap me. I was almost a diplomatic citizen from another country. By force.
Almost an alien. But yeah, I'm glad to have you back, man.
Appreciate you, my guy. I'm definitely discouraged. I missed the last 2 weeks. A lot of good football, a lot of things happened that I wish I could have touched on, but wasn't able to.
Yeah, I was in here just talking to myself, man. It was awkward. I was just staring at your chair.
Held it down, though. Yeah. Held it down.
Had to do my best, man.
For the peeps.
For the people, them.
For the people, them. But here we are.
Yeah.
What is it? Week 12 just finished?
Yeah, week 12 just finished. We're on to week 13. It's kind of sad.
Yo, football goes by so quick. I feel like we go through the same cycle all the time where it's like, I can't wait for football to start.
Right.
Then it starts. It's like, yo, I can't believe it's here. Then you're 4 weeks in. You're like, damn, it's already 4 weeks in.
Right.
Then you look up, you're 12 weeks in.
Yeah. And then it's going to be over. And it's like, then it feels like the offseason is so long compared to the actual season.
Yeah. Football's done a good job of making the offseason super long and make themselves relevant the entire offseason.
Yeah. Because like Super Bowl's over in beginning of February, you got the combine. Yep. After the combine, free agency starts. Yep. Once that's like settled down, it's like, all right, draft time.
Owners' meetings too are somewhere sprinkled in there. And so it's like they just know right when to poke the bear, like, oh, you guys forgot about us? Nah. We're the
mini
giants.
Camp.
Exactly.
mini camp. Where only two people show up.
So yeah.
But now let's jump into week 12. Well, week 12 was a rough week for us in our picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
I think it was a rough week for people in their parlays.
Like, yeah.
All across the world.
All across the world.
The whole globe, because left and right, the underdogs were taking over, winning games. I had at least two parlays blown up, mainly by the Texans, because what the hell?
Yeah, the Texans, man. I had a feel. I said it in the last pod too. I was like, I put them on the Sunday parlay, but I was like, something about that division game kind of scares me. But I was like, I'm sure they can at least win the game because I just took a money line.
Right.
And no, they no messed around and lost to the Titans.
But I mean, we probably should have got the inclination from the Browns beating the Steelers.
Right.
It was just kind of like, hey guys, this might be a wonky week.
Yeah. That boy Jameis every other week.
Every other
is
week
the man.
Chubb showed up.
Yo,
like, hey guys.
Did you know he was mic'd up for that game?
He was?
Yes.
Ah!
There's 13 minutes of like him just talking.
Nice.
I'm going to send it to you on Instagram.
Definitely
I watched the entire thing.
Definitely
in one
do
sitting. It was hilarious.
Yes, Jameis. Comedy. I seen a couple of snippets and him talking to the defense and just being Jameis.
Oh, yeah. He was like, somebody jump off sides. Damn.
He's having the time of his life, so I can't be mad at it.
Nah, word. Playing with house money.
Exactly. And the Browns, what's the best that they can hope for?
Right. Like, honestly, he's playing for, he can, if he plays well enough, they could be like, you know what? We're not going to draft a quarterback this year.
We'll bridge build him up.
Right. We'll build around Jameis and then see what can happen. Or he gets another backup job and he's still in the league.
They can bridge him up, though. I feel like he could be a solid bridge. You get
a little so
young
too.
Rookie, maybe in the second round, early second.
Yeah.
That you know, got faith in, but he needs to sit on the bench.
Right.
Jameis leads the team.
Then when you draft him, you kind of tell him, like, look, Jameis is going to be your mentor, right? Listen to him, but don't do what he does.
Right.
Like, just don't follow his actions. Yeah.
He looks like he works hard. He tries, you know what I'm saying? He's
just a goofy.
He's a goofy.
Just a goofy goober.
What do we think of the Steelers?
I think the Steelers are good, but I think they're beatable. Like, I think they might mess around and win that division just because they beat the Ravens once, and that might be all it takes to just finish with a better record than the Ravens, even though I don't think they're a better team than the Ravens, if that makes sense.
No, I get you. I feel like they are exactly who we thought they are.
Right.
Like, good defense, but not great.
Yeah.
Offense is literally built behind Russell Wilson and Pickens and a little bit of run game. And so when the formula is that simple, it's kind of easy. I don't want to say easy because you still got to go out there and win the games.
But right.
still kind of easier to deal with them as a whole. And so even though the Browns divisional game, you got to beat the Browns.
Yeah.
So
you got to beat the Browns. Yeah, especially it's a divisional game. Like, you got to win those to win your division.
Yeah.
Like, because if you finish with the same record as the Ravens and y'all both split, then it's like, all right, who had the better division record? And that loss to the Browns might mess you up.
Exactly. So now keep an eye on them. Giants, Bucks. I mean, the Bucks were just injury riddled.
Yeah.
Like, they really at one point were on a mountaintop and then lost people left and right.
Yeah.
I forgot what game it was in particular, but it was Evans got hurt, yeah. Godwin got hurt, a couple of old linemen got hurt. It's like,
and it kind of, it sucks because, like, I was really excited to see what Baker really was going to become this season. Mm-hmm. And, like, honestly, he's still balling.
Still,
like,
balling.
He's still a dog, like, carrying his team on his back.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, like, I want to see him at full potential. Everyone's healthy.
He was doing it initially. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, they handled business.
Another thing about that game that I want to bring up, Todd Bowles, mm-hmm. I need to have a conversation with him because I'm tired of him taking Bucky Irvin out on the 1 yard line. Bucky got down to the one yard line on like a 10 yard run where he's breaking tackles, he's dragging dudes, falls down on the one, they pull him. First time, the dude that he subbed in got the touchdown. I think it was McLaughlin or whatever mm-hmm. dude's name is. He got the touchdown. Then the second time, they tried to hand it off to him again and he fumbled. It's like, yo, just get Bucky in the end zone. He would have had 3 touchdowns. Assuming he scores on both of those plays.
Right.
And he ended up getting a touchdown later. I need that for my fantasy.
I hear you.
That's why we need to have a talk, Todd Bowles.
It could also be that game, I think the Falcons game where he fumbled in the red zone. So it could be, you know, that young rookie doghouse to an extent. Like,
but it's like,
we're going to give you the touches, but not in the
red zone. He has the most touches on the team. Like, he's clearly outplaying every running back on the team, even though it's a committee thing.
But you scared us in that red zone that one time when we could have beat the Falcons.
Man, they trying to ruin my fantasy. That's all. That's what's happening.
Yeah. He'll get it, though. Eventually, you would think.
Right.
Lions-Colts. Lions continue to...
Handle business.
Like, what more can you say?
Easy work. Like, even the score was 24-6, and it's like, oh, wow, the Lions had a bad game. Like, because they only scored 24.
Right.
But that just shows how capable they are of just, like, running the table, just blowing teams out.
Yeah, for sure. That's a Joff. Jared Joff. Jared Goff, 26 for 36, 269. Gibbs running for 90, 2 TDs. Montgomery had a TD. Like, they're just doing what they do.
Is it Sonic and Knuckles? That's their nickname?
Little baby nickname?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like we're in a crash course for Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit Eagles.
Yeah.
I mean,
NFC Championship game.
Probably can't go too far into this podcast without talking about Saquon going nuclear.
He might be the best player in the league.
Going nuclear, bro.
Like, putting him being in a situation where there's talent around him, where he doesn't have to carry a team and he doesn't have to, like, create holes himself to run through, bro. He's by far the best running back in the league. And granted, yes, Christian McCaffrey's hurt, so yeah, it might be recency bias, but nah, bro. Like, I'm watching this dude. He's different.
The way he runs the ball.
Yes.
Like, McCaffrey may be a quote-unquote better weapon overall because McCaffrey really be routing dudes up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So as a weapon, McCaffrey may be a better weapon, but purely running the ball, you handing this guy the ball 30 times. It's between Derrick Henry and it's between Barkley, but
yeah,
Barkley is slowly showing you it's him.
Yeah.
Because he mentioned it in the post game how, like, our O-line is just so versatile. Mm. And that makes him even more difficult to deal with.
Right.
Because he could be sitting there, you're running inside zone, you're running inside duo, you're running backside traps, you're running counters with your tight end.
Right.
And our O-line is pushing dudes left and right. Like, coming into the season, I'm pretty sure I feel like I mentioned the Eagles O-line, like, led the league in yards before contact for running backs. And Saquon was, like, 33rd in the league, and there's only 32 teams.
Right.
In yards before contact. And so the marriage was just beautiful. And now you're able to see his ability as just a runner.
Yeah.
Like, you give him a seam, he's hitting that thing going 100. Like, he leads the league in, like, 20-yard rushes, 30-yard rushes, 40-yard rushes, 50-yard rushes, 60-yard rushes, and 70-yard touchdowns.
Yeah, Saquon's going crazy this season.
Bro, he outrushed the Giants. He outrushed eight teams. Out-yardaged eight teams this past week.
Insanity.
The sixth most yardage for a running back ever. I think this decade.
Right.
But it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, that Giants GM needs to lose his job.
Yeah.
Especially after you cut Daniel Jones halfway through the season, and then Saquon is going nutty. You lost your job.
Yeah, you got to go.
Yeah, and he was on there.
Hard Knocks.
He was on Hard Knocks asking his kids, like, who should we draft? They should have been like, where do you want to live, Dad? Because we're not going to be here very long.
Wild. Wild madness over there. Like, but it also, we got to kind of recognize, like, they did mess up with the handling of it all, but he would have been a waste over there.
Oh,
like,
yeah, for sure.
And it would have been unfortunate. Like, him being in this situation now is, like, the best thing that could have happened for him and football.
Right.
Because it would have kind of been, like, a not a Barry Sanders situation, because it wouldn't have even gotten that
right
dope for him.
Right.
Barry, at least, you know, still did his thing, but Saquon would have just been wasting away in the Giants. Yeah.
It would have been a what if, and then.
Huge what if.
People would have been like, oh, Saquon wasn't that good. He was just like a combine running back, like, because he just had all the measurables. But it's like, nah, he's really like that.
Nick Wright was like a champion of that coming into the season. Like, he was saying, oh, I don't think Saquon's going to have a McCaffrey-like impact on the Eagles, because he brought up he had one, technically two really good seasons. His rookie year, injury, and then another good year, and then da-da-da-da. I'm just like, are we watching the same dude?
Yeah.
Like, are we watching the same situation? The Giants situation was awful.
Terrible.
His entire career.
Terrible.
And it also shows, like, it's been talked about, and I wish I was able to bring it up last week, because I was thinking about this last week, the fact that veteran running backs have made such great impacts on good teams, because their old teams are all losing, but their old teams also stink.
Right.
So that's like, they wouldn't have made a difference, but it shows the value in a good running back on a good team.
Uh-huh.
Like Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, and they all
J.K. Dobbins.
All went to new teams, new situations.
Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
Like five different guys. Aaron Jones, six different guys. Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
Seven different guys.
They might have saved the whole running back market.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, they might be going back to, like, all right, I guess we can pay the ones that deserve to get paid.
Exactly.
Like, stop just putting them all in one bucket and being like, yeah, nah, you guys are all running backs over 27. Yeah. You don't get paid. Like,
exactly. It was disrespectful.
Yeah.
It was disrespectful. Because, like, when you look at the receiver market, you got guys like, I don't want to disrespect anybody, but I'm going to disrespect, I guess, Jerry Jeudy, for example.
Right.
Jerry Judy's out here making more money than Saquon Barkley.
Right.
That's crazy.
Simply because of the position that he plays.
They both signed 3-year deals. Saquon signed for like 36. Judy signed for like 55.
Crazy.
Sign me up.
Right.
Sign me up. Like,
to be a mediocre quarter or mediocre wide receiver.
I mean, he's been picking it up a little bit.
Yeah,
just
but
a little bit. But yeah.
I mean,
he's a 2 at best.
Yeah.
A great 3.
If they brought in a number 1, he's immediately losing those targets.
Yeah. Judy. I had high hopes for Judy.
Yeah. I think everybody did, because it was kind of like when he came out, it's like he has the size, he has the speed, and what he does best is his route running. So it was like, oh, this is Amari Cooper all over again, and it just wasn't.
Or Calvin Ridley.
Right.
A little bit taller.
Them Alabama wide receivers. Why do I keep calling wide receivers quarterbacks? What is going on?
I don't know. But yeah, I don't want to, I can keep going on about Eagles football, like how our defense is potentially the best defense in the league.
Y'all look good.
Looking real good, baby.
Y'all look good. I almost canceled this whole podcast.
He said I almost canceled it.
They just keep winning. It's like, you know,
Eagles talk.
Sunday spreads is done. No.
Like, what are the odds? The year that we do this, the Eagles are going nutty.
Yeah, and the Cowboys are terrible. Can't even lose right.
So we can't even lose right.
Can't even suck right. Pause.
Word, because y'all played the Commanders this week.
Yeah, and won. Like, what are we doing, bro? Like, oh, my God. And I get it. Like, nobody just goes out. No one literally goes out there and tanks. Like, you can't do it because these are people's jobs.
And grown men don't care about rookies.
Right. Right. Exactly. Like, even I was listening to a podcast. I won't shout them out, but it was former NFL players. And they were saying, like, they were like, never once when we were terrible did I think like, oh, this rookie is going to come in and change whatever. He was like, I only thought it once, and it was when Marcus Mariota got drafted. And he was like, I was like, okay, this is legit. Like, mm-hmm. he could change what's going on here. But he was like, other than that, like, no, mm-hmm. we don't care.
Right. It happens all the time. Like, right. not to cross sports, but like, was it, what was his name? Drew Gooden was talking crazy about LeBron.
Crazy about LeBron. He was like, what is this 18-year-old kid going to do to help us?
20 years later.
Right. Drew, go sit down.
Go raise some kids or something.
Go raise some kids. Go draw your little hairline back in with Sharpie like you did before.
Wilding out. What else? Just let me look at the schedule real quick. Patriots, Dolphins. I mean, Dolphins, since Tua came back, Tua slowly but surely showing he is a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Like,
he might be, like, when I say this, don't think I mean he's going to win MVP, but he might be one of the most valuable players to his team in the league. Like,
yes.
When he went out, it was like, wow, the Dolphins are terrible.
They are terrible.
Like, they might be the worst team in the league. And then he comes back and it's like, oh, wait, they're good. Like,
nah, no bull. So I don't know. And it's weird because it's not even like Tyreek Hill and Waddle going crazy. It's Geno Smith and Devin Achane going crazy.
Right. It's like that offense only works if Tua is in.
100%.
Like, if anyone else comes in, it just doesn't work.
Or we don't know because they never actually gave a quality backup. For them to have such an injury-prone quarterback, they didn't even try at any moment to have any semblance of a quality backup.
It went from like... what's the defensive coordinator for the Vikings right now?
Flores,
right? It went from Flores being the head coach and hating Tua, like with everything he had, hated him, lost his job because he hated him that much that they were like, yo, we're keeping Tua. Like, can you just be nice to him? And he's like, no, he sucks. So they got rid of him. And then you flip it to Mike McDaniels where he's just like, we love Tua so much, we won't even give him a backup. Like, it's Tua or nothing.
Nothing.
Like, it's crazy. Craziness.
It's madness. I don't know what they're doing over there as an organization, but I guess it works.
It works when he plays.
Because, I mean, they're in playoff hunt position?
I think they make it. Or they can.
I mean,
I haven't looked at their schedule, but I'd assume they can at least get to 7 seed.
I mean, look at their standings real quick. They're the 8th seed right now, but the 7th seed is 7-5. They're 5-6.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's
right there.
Basically a game back.
Game back. It's the Broncos. what is that, the Family Guy voice?
Stupid. I think,
Griffin. Yeah. You want a little walk? Family Guy, classic. Next game, we got Titans-Texans. That one, like I said, blew up parlays left and right.
Yeah.
What's going on with the Texans? Like I said, I think people might have jumped the gun. We talked about it like 3-4 weeks ago that they were ahead of schedule anyways. And so now we might just be at a point where like they might not be that good to begin with. Like not to say they stink, obviously.
Right.
But as far as rankings are concerned, like they're not an awful team that's trying to battle for draft position. So now you're going against like teams that are trying to actually do something, you're on the lower end of that.
I think it was a situation where they were supposed to be terrible because the Texans were terrible. Yeah. And then D'Amico Ryans comes over, C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson get drafted, Tank Dell gets drafted, and you're
Stingley,
yep. And it's like, oh, shoot, they're good. Like, look, they just won the division. Not people weren't thinking like, wait a minute, the AFC South is terrible. Someone had to win it.
Right.
So they were playing the 4th seed from each division, or the divisions that they played, because they were the 4th. So they were playing the worst teams in the league.
And
so
their own division.
Right, and their own division, which was terrible. So, like, everyone just, like, jumped the gun thinking, like, oh, the Texans are going to be the one to compete with the Chiefs. And it's like, nah. And then they're like, oh, but C.J. Stroud is the next whatever, whatever. And it's like, he's good. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Like you said, black Jared Goff.
And black quarterbacks, man, we always rooting for them.
Right. Like, I don't want to see C.J. Stroud fail. Like, I know you saw my Facebook post, like, I was just like, y'all hyped him up. Like, y'all jumped the gun. Yeah. Like, people were talking about C.J. Stroud, arguably the second, third best quarterback in the league. And it's like, no, he's not. He's not there yet.
Not yet.
He can be.
100%. Like, I definitely remember having conversations on the flag football field, like, before the season started. And I even had Stroud, like, top 5.
Yeah.
So I was even jumping the gun a little bit.
I get it, though. Like, it's the hype of things.
Yeah.
I remember after Dak's rookie year, people were saying the same thing. Like, granted, it was mostly Cowboys fans, but it was being said. Right. It was being said. Like, yo, this guy's the man. He doesn't turn the ball over. He just throws touchdowns. And it's like, cool. That's what CJ Stroud does until this year. Now he's throwing picks.
I was listening to a podcast. Like you said, we won't shout him out. They brought up the stat that since CJ Stroud has big bro Jaden Daniels, he's thrown 10 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
Crazy. See?
So it's almost like he jumped the gun his damn self.
Yeah. See? Let the hype get to his head.
Tried to big bro people, let the hype get to his head. Like, yeah, I run the division. Let me make sure I got my young bulls in place too.
Let me look out for my young black quarterbacks.
Like, nah, bro.
This
you're
is
a
how
young
you
bull.
Do it. Yo, Caleb, this is how you do it. Like this, not like that, like this.
Like this. Like one foot in front of the other.
Mm-hmm.
No looking back. Now look at them, losing to the Titans at home.
Uninstall your rear view.
Bro,
take
they lost.
Out.
They lost to the Titans. The Titans, Will Levis got sacked 8 times. He threw for 278, was slinging it around a little bit, but he got sacked 8 times and threw a pick 6. And they still lost that game.
And that pick 6 was like in crunch time, like in the fourth quarter, right after CJ Stroud threw an interception that was like, oh my God, he's about to throw away the game. Then he got a pick 6 and was like, yo, CJ, we got your back. And CJ's like, I don't got yours.
Said, we're not doing this. They had 11 penalties. It just seemed like a team that's just not as good as everyone thought they were.
They're young.
They're young.
They're a young team.
This will be good for them.
Yeah.
Callous.
I'm sure they'll make the playoffs. They'll still win their division. Because the Titans aren't going to win it. The Colts aren't going to win it. The Jags certainly aren't going to win it. So they'll win that division. It's still a bad division. They'll get in the playoffs, play a team like the Dolphins in the first round or the Broncos and mess around and lose. And then.
Or not. They'll end up probably. Oh, yeah, because they're a division winner. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Or the Chargers.
Yeah. They'll end up playing the Chargers, who will be the 5th seed, and they'll be the 4th seed, and the Chargers will beat them.
Boom. Calling it now.
Yeah.
Sunday spreads. Put it on it now.
Nah, I mean.
Future parlays. I'm sure.
Future parlays.
Sure, FanDuel got it up already. Who will the Texans lose to in the playoffs? But yeah. Next game, Chiefs Panthers. The Chiefs love. We said it 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 12. They love to play to their competition.
Shaving points, bro. They have to be shaving points.
There's something going on with them, the NFL in Vegas. Yeah. Like, what are y'all doing?
For sure.
Like, I've seen something that said, like, 5 of their 10 games were won in like the last possession. Not even the last like minutes.
Crazy.
The last possession. And it was like within like 3 points.
Right.
Like, what are we doing at this point?
I'm telling you, that reminds me when Jameis Winston was a quarterback at Florida State his second year after they won the national championship. They were favored at every game by a bunch of points, and Jameis would play terrible until the last 2 minutes of the game. And then it'd be like, oh my God, Jameis is. And then they made it to the playoffs, lost to, what's it called? Marcus Mariota, but that's neither here nor there. But I'm telling you, they're shaving points, bro. They're doing something.
Something.
Something
some
sketchy
business over there, because either that or the Panthers are slowly but surely getting their act together. You know?
I mean, I think the Panthers are better than what they were
initially,
the first 5 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. But still, like, the Chiefs should be blowing those dudes out. They just lost to the Bills. They should be like, nah, we're going in there and we're killing them.
Yeah. I heard there was a lot of, excuse me. I heard there was a lot of bad vibes after that win, just from some of the things that I was reading and seeing. Like, a lot of players are basically, like, just not really happy with the current situation. Sounds kind of, well, I mean, they won it, but sounds reminiscent of what the Eagles were dealing with last season, where it's like, yeah, we're winning, but we're not really happy about any of this.
Right.
So that's usually not good vibes.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like that's a sign for a three-peat.
It's a regular season thing.
Yeah.
Because once the playoffs start, it's like, oh, yeah, this is what we're here for.
I think they want people to not bet on them when they make it to the Super Bowl.
It's going to be free money, probably.
Yep. Yeah. It's going to be like Chiefs-Eagles or Chiefs-Lions. Both teams are going to be on crazy win streaks. They've been blowing teams out. Clearly look like the best team in the world. Chiefs barely get in. And it's like Chiefs win by a late-second touchdown by Patrick Mahomes. In overtime, after they were down 16 at half.
Stinking horse. The whole lot of them. The whole lot of them.
It's sad because all that sounds so real. Like,
yeah.
That could 100% happen.
Yeah.
Because it's what they do.
Yeah. Screw them.
Screw them.
Screw them. I was at one point like, yeah, 3-peat will be cool. Screw it. I don't right? care for it. I don't care for it.
It's cool. It's cool when like your team's not in contention. Like as a Cowboys fan, I was like, I would love to see them go undefeated. Now that your team's good, you're like, nah, I don't want to see it at all.
Like, nah, screw them dudes. They gotta see us.
Hope they don't even make it.
Squabble up. Like bump that. You gotta see us. Like I need a read now at this point. Like we got Saquon Beasley, we got Fangio. Like Fangio would have, oh man, I don't even want to reminisce about nonsense. Like it's such a, not to go on a tangent, but it's such a like a what if situation. Like literally the year that we got rid of Gannon, well even before Gannon, we wanted Fangio. He was in the building, but he just took a year off to be in the building and coach, not even coach, but like console. What is it? Consult.
Yeah.
And so we don't get Fangio. Then the following year, he agrees to be the Dolphins head coach or Dolphins defensive coordinator. Gannon says he's staying. So we're like, all right, whatever. Then eventually he leaves and there's a whole tampering situation. We end up getting a fourth round pick from the Cardinals for it. And Fangio's like being the man that he is. He's like, I'm not going to bail on the Dolphins. I'm going to stick to the commitment that I made.
I remember that.
And now he's with the boys, but it's like we've been trying to copy this defense for 3 years running now at this point. Now that we actually have the guy running it with a bunch of young bulls, like I feel like I mentioned it with the earlier on in the season as far as us getting young bulls with a veteran defensive coordinator similar to the Chiefs doing it when they brought in like McDuffie and Cook.
Yep.
And Spagnuolo was the DC. Like early on in that season, they didn't look too good, but then slowly but surely,
right,
the young bulls don't know no better. So as a veteran DC, they're going to soak it all in.
Right.
Where the Dolphins were more veteran team. They think they know this or know that. Mm-hmm. Like, Ramsey, shut up. Play right. Your coverage.
Just do what I'm telling you to do, Jalen.
Yeah. I'm putting you in position. Just do what I'm asking.
You sassy motherfucker.
And now we got, you know, Quinyon and Coop locking up as young bulls. I, like, love to see it. But,
yes. You tell me. Remember that video of Jalen Ramsey? You tell me. Who's the one mad? Not me. Him.
Yeah, that boy was a little spicy.
Right.
A little jerky.
He immediately had a baby after that. Like, I swear. I swear I like women.
Cowboys, Commanders. I mean, we touched on it briefly, but the last, like, 5 minutes of that game was insanity. Historically insane.
Yeah.
Like, historically insane. There was, like, 40 points in the last, like, 5 minutes of the game.
Right. It was like 16-10 or something like that. And then it finished like in the 30s. Like, what happened?
It finished 34-26.
Right.
Like, it was just touchdown for touchdown for wild touchdown for wild touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that Turpin return, like, I don't think it was talked about enough.
Yeah, nah, that spin move was crazy.
That spin move was filthy. It was like D'Angelo Hall-esque.
Yeah.
Just putting 5 of the 11 guys on the field in a spin cycle and then dusting the other ones.
He was like, they asked him like, oh, like, what were you thinking? He was like, yeah, man, I was just, because he talked mad fast, because he's from the South. He's like, yeah, man, I was just thinking, like, I just wanted to do a move that nobody ever seen before. So I did a little move that nobody ever seen before. I'm like, all right, brother, it was a spin move, relax. But it was smooth.
It was smooth. Like, he fumbled the rock, grabbed it with one hand on the goal line, kind of slow played it, and then spun up out of there. Like, yeah, that was fire.
It took off.
And then y'all also had a onside kick return for a touchdown.
Yo, the crazy part is, so I'm watching it, and I was like, I was like, they're going to do an onside kick. And I see CeeDee Lamb out there and I got CeeDee on my fantasy team. I said, I really hope they kick it to him and he runs it back for a touchdown because he's done it before his rookie year.
Yep.
And then they kick it to Wanya Thomas and he takes it back to the house. I'm like, come on, bro. Why couldn't it be CeeDee?
That's crazy. What are the odds? Next game, Vikings Bears. That was a good game. Like, I was ready to write the Bears off completely.
Mm-hmm.
And they're slowly showing some fight. Like, Caleb is showing why, you know, he was still the guy.
That new offensive coordinator situation for him is making him look a lot better.
Oh, there was a switch.
Yeah.
Did not know
it was
that.
A switch in-house, but it just played to the theory that I've been saying. Like, he can't. He needs someone to teach him.
Yeah.
Like, he's just holding the ball way too long.
Yeah. I forgot who I was having this conversation with, like, a couple of days ago. It's like, who the heck is the offensive brain trust? This was like actually yesterday. Who the heck is the offensive brain trust for the Bears? No idea. You got a defensive guy, and you brought in the number one overall pick as your quarterback.
Right.
That's usually not a good formula. Like, typically, it's not a good formula. You typically want someone, and if it's not, if that's the formula, you want some kind of, like, proven offensive mind in there to, like, be his guy. Because otherwise, the defensive guy is just kind of, like, you know, more motivational than anything.
Right.
And then the quarterback coaches this guy, like, come on.
Right. Yeah, they need a legitimate offensive mind in there, an offensive coordinator or head coach, mm-hmm. To really just coach him up and just, like, be in his ear, keep his confidence up, make sure he's not doing these, like, the little mistakes. Like, he took a sack at the end, like, towards the end of the game, and he was just holding the ball. Like, everyone's just sitting around containing, and he's just, like, bouncing around. It's like, yo, just get out the pocket and throw it away, or throw the ball. Like, mm-hmm. you can't just sit back there, and eventually got sacked trying to make a play.
I mean, he was slinging that ball around. He threw it 47 times. Like, crazy. Again, that's kind of to the offense. Like, the run game is not really complimentary. Mm-hmm. It's very inconsistent. But he threw for 340, two tutties. So he was out there doing his thing. Sam Darnold still holding it down for the Vikings. I mean, how much do you trust the Vikings?
I mean, I trust them to make the playoffs. Mm. I don't trust them to win a game in the playoffs.
That's what I was saying to someone, and they were just like, I don't know. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. Until Sam Darnold shows me something more, I got to see it. I'm not going to preemptively be like, oh, they're having a good season. Sam Darnold could do it. No.
Right.
I need to see it.
Right.
But as a whole, they're finding ways to win games, even though it kind of reminds me of that year where Case Keenum was the quarterback, and they just found ways to win games, and now all of a sudden they're in the NFC Championship getting smoked by the Eagles.
Yep.
So,
like, we've seen this before.
History might be slowly repeating itself.
All right, relax. I see what you're getting at. Relax.
A lot of 2017 reminiscent moments right now. Brandon Graham got hurt in L.A., similar to Carson Wentz getting hurt in L.A.
Oh.
Brandon was going crazy, brother. He was going crazy, and he tore his tricep. Now we got to win it for BG.
He going to come back. He going to take that deer antler. That deer antler that Ray Lewis was on.
Nah, we got to win it for BG.
Ray Lewis is a murderer and a cheater.
Hey, man, any means necessary, bro. He would definitely fit in on any given Sunday.
Facts. They should do a remake of that. No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't, but they should.
Or even something similar.
Yeah.
Call it Sunday lead up.
Call it Sunday spreads so we could sue them.
Hey, preemptively. Cardinals, Seahawks. Seahawks slowly but surely getting it together.
Mm-hmm.
The head coach was a defensive guy. It took him some time to get it going. But again, similar to the Eagles, there's a lot of young guys. And so once you get the young guys in line and knowing the defense, it becomes a little more fluent. And I feel like the Seahawks defense has been holding it down for like 3-4 weeks now.
Yeah. The NFC West, man, it's wide open. Wide open.
The Niners can mess around and still win it.
Yeah, and they're in last place. And it's like, if they just get healthy and go on a little run, they can win that division.
Mess around and be the 4 seed. That's crazy.
That's not a 4 seed I would want to see.
Not at all. Not at all. But that, like you said, that whole division's a shootout. People just banging out. Jaxon Smith-Njigba slowly but surely putting himself together a really good season.
Yeah.
Good for him. Good for him. Next game. Or ending. Anything else about that game?
Nah.
Nah.
It's the
divisional game. Birds battling it out. Broncos, Raiders. Bo Nix giving potential rookie of the year energy?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Slowly but surely?
My cousin's constantly on my back because he's a Broncos fan. And before the season, I was like, Bo Nix is trash. During the draft, Bo Nix is trash. And he's like, put some respect on Bo's name. And he listens to the pod. Like, as soon as it comes out, he always listens. So shout out to you, bro. But he was just like, you need to put some respect. I'm like, yo, I'm not giving any rookie quarterbacks, like, their flowers yet. Like, because I've seen this before. I've seen how four weeks ago, people were talking about Jaden Daniels is a top five quarterback in the league. Like, they're like, yo, the numbers, he's the black Tom Brady. Like, imagine you have Tom Brady and Michael Vick together. It's him. Like, and now
we were sipping a little bit of the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, see?
We were
a little
bit.
And it's just like, now he just fell off. Well, he didn't fall off, but it's just like, all right, he's human.
Like, so, honestly, just to not even to spin back on that game, but to spin back because it made me think of it, bringing up Jaden Daniels, there was something that I heard in regards to Cliff Kingsbury and his just overall record from like week 1 through 10 and 10 or 11 through the rest of the season. And it's like his win percentage from week 1 through 10 was like 65%, which is like top 3 in the league. Mm-hmm. But then his like 11 through the rest of the season was like 22%.
Crazy.
That is crazy splits, bro. And it also went back to college. Like, even as a Texas Tech coach, he was the same thing, starting off 5-2, finishing whatever, whatever.
Right.
Like,
it might be that this, the offense is a little gimmicky.
Yeah.
So maybe like dudes catch on after a little while. They're like, oh, you like to do this, oh, you do that.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. Now we got your punk ass.
Right.
You spent this whole offseason trying to be cute.
Right.
Now look at you.
I really thought when he first came into the league as a head coach for the Cardinals and he had Kyler, I said, yo, this offense is about to take over the league. Like, it was just super fast.
And they were.
It was bad.
Until it wasn't.
Right.
Like, they started off like 10-1 or something crazy that year.
Their first preseason game, they did it. And I forget who it was. It might have been Jabril Peppers. It was a safety. Like, after the game, they like asked him, like, oh, what'd you think about the – he was like, yo, we're grown men. That doesn't work here. Like, it's not working. But eventually, like, got to the regular season, they figured it out. It started to work a little better, but then the NFL figured it out, per usual.
So, Cliff, get it together, man.
Yeah.
There was a reporter that asked him about it, and he was kind of like, yeah, I'm not too familiar. I might need to check your references in regards to those numbers, but I don't – he's like – the reporter asked him, are you going to do anything to, like, buck the trend? And he's like, I'm not aware of any trend. Bro, it's been your whole career.
Right. You don't notice you start losing, like, at the end of the season? You Madness. Notice you've never won anything?
Madness.
Bro, your trophy case is empty. What do you mean you don't notice Front the running. Trend? Right.
He does just enough early on to keep his job.
Yeah. I saw a report saying Jerry Jones was looking at Cliff Kingsbury to be the head coach next year. But I also saw a report that Jerry Jones said Mike McCarthy might be back next year. I'll tell you this much. If he's back, I'm not. I will find a new team to root for.
He said I'll be out of there.
Like, there's no way, bro. If the Cowboys bring back Mike McCarthy, I'm not going to say – I'm not even going to make that joke on the air, because if something happened to him and they come to me. But just know, Jerry, I'm on your back.
I'm on your back, kid.
I'm on your back. If I ever see you in Walmart, I'm kicking you in the shin for sure.
Madness. I mean, if he rattles off a couple of wins, steals a
Nah, seat. Bro. Like, that's the thing. Like, we won this game. Let's say we win against the Giants coming up.
I sent you that thing about how they can still make the
Right. Playoffs. Yo, it was crazy. It was wild. It was like, if they win out and then this team loses, this team ties with this team, if this team just disappears altogether, like, if they just don't show up for a game.
Yeah, nah, that was hilarious. Hilarious.
Oh, freaking Cowboys, man.
I mean, I love to see it. I can't lie.
I bet.
I didn't want to do it, but somebody had to do it. Kendrick Lyons, that album, bro. I feel like I'm saying something off of that album all the time.
Kendrick Lyons are they can be said here.
He knows how to like tap into the culture, man. It's madness.
You saw this is a little tangenty. Yeah. The video for Squabble Up.
Yeah.
You saw how many, like, references there are?
So many references.
Yeah.
I have craziness. To watch a video to break it down after. I didn't do it, but I need to.
I watched a video right before you got here. And basically, he's coming out with another album this year.
Which I figured.
Yeah.
This album just sounds like it's dope enough to be played, like, at the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's going to come out screaming, Mustang!
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen. Start. Definitely going to happen. But yeah.
Looking at it, you guys are 3 games out of the 7th seed.
Why?
Just enough.
If we make the playoffs, bro, I'm going to be so upset, because they're going to be like
vindicated.
Jerry Jones is going to be like, yeah, we're going to bring back Mike McCarthy, because look what he did when our backs were against the wall and everyone gave up on us. Look what he brought us to the playoffs so we can get blown out by the Eagles in the first round. That's what's going to happen.
Yes.
So upsetting.
I've seen a stat that said the Cowboys have been down by 20 plus in 6 straight home games. They said that's never happened before.
Yo, the last 2 years, not including this year, so last year and the year before, we were undefeated at home. Undefeated. Then got blown out by the Packers in the playoffs at home and haven't won a game since. Haven't won a game at home since. This man is laughing at us.
There's been more tours than dubs in Jerry World.
Yo, it's crazy.
Yo, that's crazy.
I don't know. Like,
you've been in the dub column more in Jerry World.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Good stuff. Good
Cowboys
stuff.
Stink.
Saquon rushed for over 255 yards. He jumped over a guy.
Backwards.
Like, he's doing MVP stuff right now, man. I can't even.
And they added that move to Madden.
Too soon, but yeah. Dope as hell.
But yeah, it's super dope. Like, he's the only one that can do it.
Madness. Madness. He's ahead of the pace that Adrian Peterson said when he was the MVP, the last running back MVP. Like, he needs to at least be in the conversation, which he is. I mean, going into that game, he was like ninth, and now he's like fourth, which is good.
I mean, with that being said, you want to jump to our award predictions?
Let's touch on these last two games real quick.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Jumping the gun.
Good. It's all good. We got the Niners-Packers. Packers are looking real good.
Yeah.
They're finally, like, being more of, like, a physical run team because you got Josh Jacobs. Like, why not play to his strengths?
Yeah, three tutties, right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Took him a while to see the end zone. Now he can't get enough of it.
Right. He's like, I like it here.
Keep giving me the rock. He was running angry, though. Like, give him the rock. Like, do you see the league leading rushers? It's Saquon, it's Derrick Henry, it's Josh Jacobs. The veteran running backs changing teams.
Yeah. Save the position.
Save the position. Now people like Bijan Robinson and Gibbs have a future.
Yep. They're actually going to get paid.
Exactly.
They're going to get a second contract.
Taylor fought for this. Kamara sat out for this.
Nah, for real. Saquon, too. Saquon took the franchise tag. He said, fine.
He said, fine, guys. That's what you think.
Yeah.
Keep Daniel Jones.
Right.
Like the guy. They're actually like best friends.
Are they?
Yeah. Saquon's just a really nice guy, I guess.
Daniel Jones actually just got picked up by the Vikings.
I seen that.
Yeah.
Him and Darnold are very similar.
Right. I was about to say, they just have two of the same guy now.
That's not bad. That's what you do as for a backup. Ravens, Chargers. Ravens look really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Because the Chargers, honestly, are a good team.
They didn't look bad.
Yeah.
Dobbs got a little banged up. That didn't help. But, I mean, I feel like in, like, other sports, I can't speak for football or baseball or hockey, but, like, in basketball, you can root for multiple teams, multiple players. I feel like in football, it's more so, like, your favorite team. And you can like other players, but you're typically, like, your favorite team. Mm. I've always had a soft spot for the Chargers. Can't even lie. It's the Powder Blues.
Yeah. I always said, like, if I wasn't a Cowboys fan, I'd either be a Chargers fan or a Jags fan.
Or
Jags, because I just like their colors, and Chargers colors, and they always have, like, a
players
lot of
that
talent.
I with. Yeah. Like Drew Brees when he was doing his thing, the Gates, the Sean Merrimans, the Quentin Jammers, the...
Yeah.
We can go on.
LT.
Yeah, like Chargers. But even Josh Herbert, like I remember getting into it with Nico about Josh Herbert. And he's just saying, oh, Josh Herbert sucks. And Herbert sucks. I'm like, no, he doesn't. Like,
yeah.
If you watch him throw the football, he is a capable football thrower.
Nah, Calvin hates Justin Herbert, bro.
Yeah.
That's Nico's real name, Calvin.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah. Didn't know that.
Nico Bellic is from Grand Theft Auto.
Me and him have had a conversation about how, like, there's a whole culture of us that don't even know each other's real names.
Yeah.
It's the flag football culture.
Yeah.
Like,
none of them know your actual real name.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. When I told him, he was like, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
He said on Facebook the other day, too, he was like, I love when people call me Nico because they don't realize, like, my name's Calvin.
Comedy. I actually played Calvin's team in our touch league this past week for the championship.
Oh, yeah?
He was talking crazy to the sideline.
Calvin talk crazy.
He does. I'm surprised. Like, him and Kay got into it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, Calvin, what's going on here?
I rock with Calvin. I played with him. It was like a really young flag football team. They were like, yo, we need a quarterback. You trying to play? I was like, sure. I didn't know nobody on the team. And like, I kind of just like gravitated to him. Like, he was a young dude, but it's just like, I could tell he's like a little bit more mature than everybody else. And he had like a little dog in him. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yo, I rock with this kid.
Nah, facts. Because he was giving it to the sideline because they were like, you guys don't even belong here. He's like, we packed you guys up already, which was facts. They made it to the championship. You can't say nothing.
Right.
But yeah, Ravens. We got a crash course with the Ravens this week. That's going to be a really good one. Game of the week potential. Potential Super Bowl preview?
Wait, which game you said?
The Ravens versus Eagles? Potential Super Bowl preview?
Potential?
For sure. But yeah, we'll touch on that next episode for our
Dolphins 13. Dolphins Falcons is potential Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean,
Dolphins. Technically,
Dolphins are.
I'm just trying
playoffs,
to shit
though.
On the Eagles a little bit.
He said, "Watson, you're on your high horse.
Right.
I gotta knock you down. You can't, Bracey. You see what Saquon's doing, brother? It's madness. And not even just Saquon. Like, I kind of look at it like this: Saquon is our MVP, but I still low-key feel like A.J. Brown is our best player. Mm-hmm. Like, I say that in the sense of...
the backbone of the team.
Yes. And Jalen Hurts is our most important player. Mm-hmm. A.J. Brown, we're 8-0 when he's on the field. The two games we lost, he wasn't playing. Saquon was there. Mm. Not to say, true, you know, here or there, but A.J. Brown, I got into a whole back and forth with people online with about A.J. Brown. I don't even want to get into it.
Shoot, I got into a little back and forth with Calvin, actually, because he's an Eagles fan, and he was basically saying a couple weeks ago, he's like, Jalen Hurts is the MVP front runner, and I'm like, yo, he's not even the MVP on your team.
No.
Like, I was like, Saquon...
He's the most, like, important, but he's not the MVP.
Right. Like, I was like, if anyone was to win MVP on your team, it's Saquon. And he was like, so you're saying Derrick Henry is above Lamar? I said, no, Lamar is doing more than Jalen.
100%.
Like, yes, Derrick Henry's going crazy too, but so is Lamar Jackson.
Lamar
is
slinging that BB.
Yeah.
From the pocket.
Yep. So it's like, nah, bro. Like, Saquon is above Jalen. Lamar is above Derrick. Josh Allen's above all of them.
They might find they might find a way to give it to him. They do love Josh Allen. They try to pedestal that boy. His numbers aren't even that crazy. But the Bills would stink without him.
Right.
I get that. But how much do you quantify that? It's hard to.
I kind of see it like this. So should we just get into our award predictions?
Yeah, I mean, we got through all the games now, so that's actually a perfect segue.
My MVP prediction is Josh Allen. And this is why I think he gets it. I think Jalen Hurts has an argument to get it. Saquon has an argument to get it. Derrick Henry has an argument to get it. Lamar has an argument to get it. Josh has an argument, but he doesn't have a teammate that has an argument to get it. So I think they're going to give it to Josh because it's like, well, Jalen, you have Saquon. Saquon, you have Jalen. Derrick, you have Lamar. And Lamar, you have Derrick. Josh is out there with
Shakir. Cook.
Yeah. Like, he's out there by himself. Like,
if de facto.
Yeah. So I think that's why he gets it.
Narratives play a big part in that. Mm-hmm. So
they beat the Chiefs.
Like I said, and he did it with him on his back with that long touchdown run.
Especially so. if the Chiefs don't lose another game for the regular season, Josh Allen 100% wins. Because they're going to be like, oh, there's only one team that beat him, and it was Josh Allen, and he won the game by running the ball by himself. Yeah, he gets it.
Mess around, beat a 3 seed.
Right.
Nah, yeah, I hear you. Like I said, it's hard to quantify it, but you build enough storylines around it, it's quantifiable.
They might mess around and beat a 2 seed, honestly. They only got 2 losses.
Yeah, how much do the Ravens have?
4, I believe.
Oh, yeah, they do have 4. So, nah, you're right. Let me see the standings real quick.
Yeah, Chiefs are 10-1. Bills are 9-2. Steelers are 8-3.
So they're right there. It's right there.
Mm-hmm. So if the Bills win out, and let's say the Chiefs lose, the Bills get the 1 seed. He's undeniably the MVP.
Yeah, like, that is true.
Coming into a season where he lost Stephon Diggs, where everyone kind of like, all right.
He's going to take a step back.
Yeah, like they're going to fall off a little bit.
No, we're actually going to elevate off my back.
Right.
So, nah, I hear you. I wrote down Lamar by numbers, Allen by storyline and standings. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I see it. Like, Lamar's numbers are, I think more so what's going to happen with Lamar is voters fatigue. Like, it gets to a point where we can't keep giving you the MVP. LeBron had to deal with it. Freaking Giannis.
Yeah.
Jokic, they're going to keep feeding him, apparently.
It's just how it goes.
Yeah. Like, eventually it's like, all right, guys, there's other people that are nice doing their thing for their team as well. We got to spread the love.
Unless you're Michael Jordan and the league is trying to push your narrative.
Yes. And trying to elevate the whole entire league as a whole.
Right.
So.
Which Michael Jordan fans act like didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy. We've seen whole documentaries centered around it. Like.
No, he was just better than everyone else. Okay, buddy.
Yeah.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah. What was the next one? Offensive player of the year? That's a good one right there.
Yeah.
That one, that's a toss-up between a couple different guys. Like, first comes to mind Derrick Henry, but then Saquon's doing Saquon-like things, so it's like you got to give him something.
Right.
He's from around the way. He's got to leave with something, especially if he touches 200. He already has the most rushing yards in his career, and there's like 7 games left.
Crazy.
Madness. So for me right now, it's Saquon, offensive player of the year.
I got Saquon at offensive player of the year as well.
Cool. Defensive player of the year. Who you got?
This one might be a little different. I got Pat Surtain Jr.
I like it.
From what I saw, like, he's holding, like, on passing plays towards him, it's like a 47% passer rating or something like that. So he's locking dudes up. He's got defensive touchdowns. He is the anchor of that defense that is playing better than they should have been playing, because I can't name three other defenders on that defense. So, yeah, I got Pat Surtain.
Name two.
You said what?
I couldn't name two.
Yeah. I can't name another, honestly.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, Riley Moss? Is that the white dude? I only know him because he's white.
Yeah.
He's a white
corner. Outlier.
Right.
So you're just kind of like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Singletary was a linebacker, but he's hurt, so I don't know if I can count him. So now I hear you. I hear you on that. That's a good call. For me, I was going with T.J. Watt, probably just off the strength of...
It's the easy pick.
It's the easy pick. He hasn't gotten as many as you'd probably assume he should at this point.
Right.
And so it's probably like, here you go, T.J. Kind of like how Garrett got his. It was like, here you go, Garrett.
I wanted to say Myles Garrett. Like, before I really dove into the research, I was like... I want to go Myles Garrett just because he outplayed T.J. Watt in their last game. So I was like, they're going to give it to Myles Garrett. But then when I did more research, I was like, wait a minute. Pat Surtain's balling.
So. And like I said, they gave it to Myles last season, so I don't think they're going to be like, oh, yeah, here's another one.
Right.
Last year, the Browns' defense was...
Right.
This season, they're just kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not a bad one. I like Surtain. I like that one. Defensive Rookie of the Year, who you got?
Defensive Rookie of the Year? I already know who you got.
Do you do?
Well, based on the way you said that, I don't know. Maybe I don't. I got Jared Verse.
Okay.
Defensive end for the Rams.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
He blew Mailata up.
Crazy.
Like, I haven't seen Mailata get blown up like that, and he's a 360-pound man.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy how the Rams, they legit, like, they lost Aaron Donald, and it's like, all right, how are we going to replace Aaron Donald? And they didn't think... What most people would think, like, oh, we're going to replace him with one guy. We need to find one guy that's Aaron Donald. That's not possible. One of the best defensive players of all time. So they got Verse and they got Fisk, both from Florida State, and they're both balling.
But also last year they brought in Young from, I want to say, Alabama, and they brought in Turner, who was a good rookie from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So literally their entire D-line was revamped in two seasons.
Yeah.
Crazy. Because Fisk was giving us hell. Like, Verse did his thing a little bit, but we handled him more so. Like, there was times where we optioned him up, and our tackles are top tier.
Right.
But Fisk, we have good guards, and he was giving us problems.
Yeah.
So, you're absolutely right about that. My Defensive Rookie of the Year, Cooper DeJean. No,
that's crazy.
Hey, man, I'm not even – the problem was he doesn't have enough snaps because he didn't play it early on in the season, but – if you were to quantify it over a 16-game season, this man's locking up left and right.
Per 36.
Per 36, bro, locking up left and right. Cooper Kupp, Cooper who? I'm the real Coop. But no, I do. I got Verse as well, honestly.
Okay. I figured you would have had your boy Mitchell.
But no, like I said, I have it written down as Verse. Mitchell has been excellent. Like, he really has. But the problem with him is he's gotten to the point where they're not even throwing it at him.
Mm-hmm.
He's seeing like two targets a game, if that. And so it's hard to quantify his impact in a reward that's typically statistic-based.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And there's other corners that are technically like PFF and other whatever ratings better than him.
Yeah.
But
that PFF stuff is goofy, though.
Yeah, it is sketchy. Like, there was a play this past week where, from watching it, I thought he gave up the touchdown to Cooper Kupp, but they're saying that the touchdown was by Sidney Brown because he didn't get deep enough as the deep third safety.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it looked like Mitchell got beat on that touchdown. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. And, like, they don't even know the play calls, so it's like they're just kind of guessing.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, he was in a cover three? Or maybe he just got his ass busted.
Right. And I've heard, like, to qualify to work for PFF is, like, you just have to have played football. And that could be high school JV, 1 year. It's like, yeah, I've played football. So, like, yeah, you can do this. As long as you understand the game and the analytics, yeah, you can do it. And it's like, how does Joe Blow know when this dude got beat? Like, yeah.
And what was the coverage?
Right.
And what was the call? And things of that nature. So, no, I agree. But no, like I said, I did want to bring up my boy Cooper DeJean, because since he has been in the lineup, we've been a way better defense, which I was screaming from the beginning. I'm like, Maddox needs to get the hell out of here, put Coop in there because at minimum will be a better run defense. But Coop has actually shown to be really good in the slot. Mm-hmm. Really good. Like, changed our whole defense.
Yeah, I remember seeing him. I remember you bringing him up, just saying, like, he's making a lot of great tackles. And there was a play where Cowboys versus Eagles and CeeDee Lamb got the ball. And honestly, it's usually like, it was like a 1 yard pass, but it's like we needed 3 yards. CeeDee Lamb's getting the first down. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to make one guy miss and he's going to get the first down. And DeShean was not having it.
And there was another one this past week where Cooper Kupp caught the ball. He dove to get the, like, the last little 2-3 inches he needed. And his arms were, like, in reach of doing it. Mm-hmm. But Cooper grabbed him enough to where when he grabbed him, the ball kind of came out. And so now his hands went forward, but the ball wasn't with his hands. Mm-hmm. It was such a wild play, but it was such an excellent play because he made such an excellent tackle. Like, he's our best tackler as a rookie. That was such a great draft pick. Him mm-hmm. and Mitchell, like, we just hit super dope on that draft. We've been hitting, honestly, in our draft for the past, like, 3 seasons. Like, I looked at a thing that was showing, like, our top 3 picks in the last 3 rounds for the past, like, 4 years. Mm-hmm. All just doing their business right now. Love to see it. Shout out Howie. Offensive Rookie of the Year. Who you got?
Brock Bowers.
Nice.
I feel like at the beginning,
top 10 in receptions.
Yeah. He's going crazy.
He's going
crazy. Honestly, nutty. Like, about to break every tight end rookie record there is. Like, he's a dog.
He's a dog.
Straight dog. And Nama has no quarterback, has no other weapons around him. They know they're throwing him the ball. Still can't stop him.
Can't stop him.
But I feel like at the beginning of the season, it was, oh, Jaden Daniels won the Rookie of the Year. And then he's starting to fall off a little bit. And then it's like, oh, wait, but Bo Nix is stepping up. He can win Rookie of the Year. But when you look at it, Brock Bowers has been balling all season.
Yeah.
Like, no one has been able to slow him down. So, personally, I'd give it to Brock Bowers, but I can 100% see it going to Bo Nix.
Yep.
Just because it'll
if
be
they
like—
they end up being a top 4 seed.
Yeah. It'll be like
no,
the recent—
they can't be a top 4.
Nah, because they got the Chiefs.
Yep.
But, like, they could be the 5 seed or the
record-wise.
Right.
If they end up being a top 4 seed.
Right. Yeah, I can see it.
Same, because these awards have unfortunately become very, like, easy to call. Like, mm-hmm. defensive rookie, what are your sack numbers? What are your pick numbers? Offensive rookie, what are your, are you a quarterback?
Right.
Or what are your, you know what I'm saying? It's unfortunate, but yeah, it's either Bowers or Nix at this point. I wrote down Bowers, but then I wrote down Nix is probably going to win it because he's a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Which is unfortunate. It's like, how many awards are we just going to give to quarterbacks?
Yeah.
But Rookie of the Year doesn't always go to quarterbacks. I was looking it up, and, like, a lot of the time it's different positions.
Nice.
So
good to hear.
That's nice. But we'll see. I've never seen it go to a tight end. So that's where things get a little sketch.
A little sketch.
Did you have a comeback player of the year?
Comeback player of the year? I did not.
No? I got Joe Burrow.
Joe Beezy, that's easy.
Yeah, super easy. That's why I was like, that's why I asked. And I even if you said no, it's like, you're just going to pick Joe Burrow.
Yeah, like, I probably didn't even think about it because it was a given.
Yeah. So. Because, like, you had Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, but then they've done nothing. So it's like, all right, who else do we give it to? And it's like, oh, yeah, Joe Burrow did get hurt last year.
Joe Burrow is leading the league in every damn near statistical category and as a quarterback.
So it's like, yeah,
he'd damn near be the MVP if his team wasn't as ass as they are.
Yep. If they won the games that they could have won, which, like, are a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like, they were within a score in most of the games they lost.
The first 4 losses were, like, all within a score.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. It's like almost damn near a throwaway season. Like, what are they about to do with T. Higgins?
He's gonna
waste him.
He'll be a Patriot.
Yeah, because I mean, at this point, Jamar Chase just broke y'all backs with the way he's going about it. Because he's gonna want to be the highest paid player in the league. Not even just receiver.
He's gonna be like, you know, Patrick Mahomes' contract. I need it.
Tear that up.
Right.
Tear that up.
I need a dollar more.
That's just the start. Bring that contract in just to talk to me. Is that it for awards? Oh yeah, Coach of the Year.
Oh yeah, Coach of the Year. I didn't think of that one.
You didn't?
No. Go ahead. I got one. Yeah, it's easy.
For me, Coach of the Year.
Actually,
it should be Andy Reid. Andy Reid doesn't have enough Coach of the Years in his career. And that's the problem. Because he's arguably Bill Belichick, Andy Reid for modern day coaches.
Like, yeah.
Who else? You know what I'm saying? It's very short list as far as, because Bill Belichick had Tom Brady. Andy Reid is a quarterback whisperer. Like, he was Brett Favre's quarterback coach, I want to say. And so I know he was the first either quarterback coach or OC to be hired as a head coach. I think it was quarterback coach. And so he's been a quarterback whisperer his entire life. Like, Eagles backups left and right have been winning games as far as I can remember. He gets to the Chiefs. Alex Smith revives his career. Mahomes is Mahomes. Like, Andy Reid deserves more credit. And so I think he deserves a coach of the year.
So I got, for coach of the year, that's a tough one. Because
they gave it to Sarkisian, the Browns guy. He has two of them. Andy Reid has one, if I'm not mistaken.
That is crazy.
That's crazy.
Because it's like, when it comes to coach of the year, like, do you just give it to the team with the best record? So it's like, do we just give it to Andy Reid? But then it's like, hey, he has Patrick Mahomes. Like, for me, coach of the year, I feel like it's a coach that brought a team to a good record when they weren't supposed to be there. Because a part of me wants to say Dan Campbell, but it's like, we knew the Lions were going to be good. So I don't want to give it to Dan Campbell. A part of me wants to give it to, what's the Vikings head coach? O'Connell?
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell?
Yeah.
I want to say Kevin O'Connell because everyone kind of wrote them off when Sam Darnold
100%.
Like took over the job. It's
and
like,
they lost players like left and right.
Right.
Before the season even started.
So it's like, I could see him getting it. I could see Sean Payton getting it. The Broncos were supposed to be terrible.
Yeah.
Like 100%. They were supposed to be top three pick terrible.
100%.
And they're more than serviceable. They're going to make the playoffs most likely.
Mm-hmm.
If they mess around and get the 5 seed and have, like you said, a top 4 record in the league, I could see Sean Payton getting it. Or
Harbaugh is up there.
Harbaugh.
For the Chargers.
Chargers, for sure.
Because they weren't supposed to be nothing either.
Everyone's yeah.
Like, who the heck is Herbert throwing to? They're just going to run the ball forever. Their defense right. probably stinks.
Right.
All those things were wrong.
Yeah. Or even Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
But
we'll see. Tomlin was 12-1 at one point, too, and that team stunk. Like, Tomlin, unfortunately, is a victim of his own success.
Yeah.
It's like, we've seen you do this before, Tomlin. Like, all right, enough of this magic, same magic trick, bro. Stop pulling the same rabbit out of your hat. Like,
right.
Pull a different animal.
We get it. You're going to finish above 500.
Like, we get it. You're real snobby at your press conferences. You're going to give us an inspirational quote. Is that it for award them?
Yeah, unless you want to do man of the year. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what they do for the community.
We'd have to dig deep for that one.
Right. So, yeah, let's jump into our power rankings.
The power ranking them. All right.
Power rankings. Going into week 13, power rankings. I'll start at 10, pass it to you, like we did before.
Yes.
All right. So at number 10, I have the Denver Broncos.
Okay. Okay.
I think the Denver Broncos are good. I think their roster will hold them back just because, like, they do lack talent in certain areas. But they are a good team, well coached. They're playing great defense. Bo Nix is balling right now. Can't knock him.
I hear that. For my number 10 team, I have the Steelers. Kind of what we mentioned before. You know what you're getting with them. Solid defense, not great. Quarterback play, deep balls to Pickens. Sometimes it will be miraculous. Sometimes he's going to crash out.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Like, he was trying to fight dude in at the end of the game. Did you see that?
No, but I heard about it.
Last play of the game, like, it was basically through an end zone, and he's in that back of the end zone just fighting Greg Newsom, just, like, going at it. And it's like, bro, what are you – like, they're in the crowd pretty much. Like, bro, what are you doing? Like, take your L, go home.
Madness. He does it all the time.
All the time.
There's so many snippets of him just doing wild stuff.
Just fighting.
Fighting, grabbing dudes by the face mask. There was one point – I forgot what team he was going against, but some dude kind of got hurt. But he kind of went at him dirty, like, kind of, like, dove at his, like – knees or something.
Mm-hmm.
But Pickens got up and basically yelled, "Pick your man's up," and started mm-hmm. pointing at him as he's on the floor writhing in pain. He eventually got carted off or something.
Crazy.
Pickens is a menace.
Yeah. He slammed Jordan Lewis of the Cowboys like at the end of the game. Like, it was a fumble.
I seen that.
Jordan Lewis picked it up, went to George Pickens to talk crazy because they were going back and forth.
He grabbed him by the face mask.
Yep, and slammed him. Like, bro, chill out. What's wrong with you?
He's not the one.
Nah, not at all. Not at all.
Comedy. Number 9. For number 9, I got the Chargers. I feel like they're a good team, well coached, clearly. Defense playing well. Herbert, I think, has proven to be a top seven quarterback in the league. And so I think the Chargers are going to probably not do anything because it's a tough, tough conference out there.
Yeah.
But they're ahead of schedule. So.
Yeah, number nine, I got the Chargers as well. Nice. Everything that you said. I think well-coached team, defense is playing high. They run the ball well. Justin Herbert's playing great now that he has a good run game. Chargers at number nine.
And Ladd McConkey got him a white boy receiver.
He's going crazy.
You got to have you a white boy in the slot.
Yo, you saw that Quentin Johnston drop?
No.
Miserable.
I heard about it.
Like, basically, if he catches it, it was like a drag. It was like either fourth down or third. It was a third down. Like third and two. Or no, like third and seven. I don't know. Third and something. Mm. And he has a drag. He's butt naked. Like, everyone else is running deep routes, so everyone has their back turned. Perfect. He would have took it up the sideline, gone. Just dropped it.
It's a reminder of why people were saying he was the worst receiver ever.
Yep. Yeah. Finished with zero catches.
Because going into that week, he was doing all right. Yeah. Catching deep balls and catching touchdowns and looking good.
I needed him to win. I needed him to, like, just do well so someone can beat someone else in fantasy so I could jump them in the standings. And he got zero catches. 0 points.
Awful.
Waste of space.
Waste. And the Ravens' defense is not that good.
Nope.
So for you to not do anything,
right,
is not good.
Just out there getting cardio.
Who you got for eight?
I got the Steelers.
Okay.
I think the Steelers are a good team. I think they're better than the Chargers, better than the Broncos. But I don't see them being good enough to really do too much in the playoffs. But I think they're a top eight team.
I hear that. For me, I got the Broncos. Everything kind of what you said. Their defense, though, I think, and the Knicks to Sutton combination out of nowhere.
It's getting crazy.
It's getting crazy. So it's
getting crazy.
You know? Don't give the young bull any confidence in a veteran receiver to throw to.
Right. Roland Sutton's been going crazy.
He's been going crazy.
Yeah, what, two touchdowns last week?
Yeah, I seen a stat that he's like the league leading receiver for the past like 5 weeks or something like that. So it's like,
I think like one game he had zero catches, like no targets, and after that he just went nuts.
He probably freaking jacked up Bo Nix in the locker room.
Right.
Said, white boy, if you don't get me to rock, it's up for everybody in here.
He's like, yeah, I know you're a rookie and I know you're the same age as me, but I don't care.
Right. Who you got for seven?
Seven, I have the Green Bay Packers.
So do I.
Look at us.
Look at us. Agreeing.
I think the Packers are a good team. I think they are maybe a one or two pieces away from really making a run at like the Lions and Eagles and the NFC, but I think they're a good team. Jordan Love, I think if he takes that next step, they could be something to reckon with for the next couple of years.
I hear you. They're well coached. Offensively, they got weapons. Besides Jacobs, no one is like to brag about. Like, did you see that Watson drop?
Yep.
I mean, it was inconsequential. They were going to win anyways, but
you got to make that catch.
And it's just an example, though, that they don't really have like a go-to guy. Like,
right.
Reed is good, but he's not go-to. Wicks is solid. He's not go-to. Watson is good, not go-to. So it's like when it comes down to it and they need it, who are they going to?
Right.
And so that, who knows, might hurt them, might not hurt them, might not hurt them. We'll see. Defensively, they're all right. McKinney was in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't even know why I didn't even think about that. He's been going nutty.
Yeah.
He's been going nutty. And I liked McKinney. I wanted to draft him. We didn't. Went to the Giants. Hated to see it. Then I wanted to bring him in as free agent. We tried. Packers gave him the bag.
Yeah.
Not mad at it. It was clearly worth the money.
Right.
But yeah, Packers at seven. Six, I got the Vikings.
Same.
Oh, look at us.
Look at us.
Is our top five going to be the same?
I don't think so.
All right, cool. But yeah, Vikings, I still have my questions, but you got to give them credit. Credit where it's due. Kind of what you mentioned as well as far as them kind of proving a lot of people wrong and being better than expectations after them losing, rookies dying, and people getting hurt and things of that nature, so giving the Vikings their respect,
right?
Basically.
Same. That's really what it is. It's like, I don't think they are a real contender, but it's like, I'm not going to be disrespectful.
Yeah, exactly. Who you got for five?
Ravens.
All right. This is where we differ.
Okay. All right. Then it's got to be different.
I was going to be discouraged. Like, we can't be sitting here agreeing the whole top seven.
Yeah. I got the Ravens. I think they're a top five team. I can see them winning a Super Bowl. Everyone in my top five, I can see winning a Super Bowl. Everyone outside of the top five, I don't see them winning a Super Bowl. But out of this top five, I think the Ravens have the least likely chance to win the Super Bowl. There's just something about the Ravens that just, like, I don't know, worries me when it comes to postseason time. I don't know. But Lamar is a dog. Derrick Henry, dog. Rashad Bateman's out here making dudes look crazy.
I was always a fan of Bateman. Coming into the league, I'm like, yo, this dude looks like he's nice.
Like, he's got that look to him.
Yeah, he's got the look. And it just took him a while to actually put it together. Right. So good for him.
It's like that guy that walks into the AAU tournament, and it's like he got the sandals on, got the duffel bag. You're like, oh, yeah, nah, that dude looks like he's nice. But then he's not. It's just like, oh, your parents just got a lot of money.
Right. So, yeah, that's who Bateman was.
Who you got at five?
Five, I got the Billy Goats. Mm-hmm. I feel like they are a good team, clearly. Josh Allen, superhero, arguably MVP. Problem with that, though, is that's a lot of eggs in that basket. Mm-hmm. And Josh Allen is a reckless mofo.
Word.
And so, giving them their credit, giving them their flowers, their respect. But I also feel like it's potential top heavy. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see how that plays out.
We're at number four. I got the Bills at number four.
And I got the Ravens.
Yeah.
So
we did a little flippy floppy.
Flippity floppity.
I wonder if our top three are the same.
I mean, there's only so many teams left.
Right, right. I'm sure it's the same three teams.
Yes.
But what order? But yeah, four, I got Bills. Everything you just said, Josh Allen's a superhero. That's what it comes down to.
Yes.
Like, he's that good.
Yes. And for me, I got the Ravens, you know. I mean, Lamar, you know, in the playoffs, he hasn't always been the greatest. But with Derrick Henry, that's an added layer of we'll see. Mm-hmm. We've seen Derrick Henry do some things in the playoffs. So maybe you slap them together,
right,
mess around, and make a run.
I could see it.
Who you got for three?
Eagles.
So do I.
I think our top three is going to be the same.
Yeah.
Eagles at three. I think they're starting to go on a run. I can 100% see them winning a Super Bowl. It's truly unfortunate. Stop nodding your head.
You see the cheese, too.
Right.
Missing the cheese.
I'm just looking at my phone, and I just see him in my peripheral just nodding his head, cheesing.
Mention the cheese, yeah.
I think the Eagles, like, the way they're playing right now, they could be number one on his power ranking. It's just, I feel like it's too soon to jump the gun just because the two teams above them are, they've been doing it since day one kind of thing. But yeah.
Yes. If we don't lose to the goddamn Falcons, this is low-key a different conversation. But you can't go back and redo past. If anything, it might have built some callus for us. Saquon's going, can't say that on the air. I take that back. Saquon's going crazy.
I edited it out anyway.
Oh, nice. AI be doing wild things. Eagles football, baby. The defense, man. That's what I'm, like, the most, like, excited for and have the most faith in besides our O-line. Our O-line and our defense. Fangio has shown me this whole entire season besides the Bucs game that he knows how to adjust. He knows how to find answers. It's like, oh, this is what you're doing? You're not doing it anymore. What's your next play?
Right.
Like, literally, in the game versus the Rams, it's like the first two drives, the Rams are going on us. The third quarter, one of the quarters, they literally had -7 yards for a quarter.
Crazy.
So I'm like, Fangio has shown multiple times, like, he can literally take an offense off the board for an entire quarter. And so now it's on the offense to try and readjust to that. And so having that ace in our corner, I like it. I like it a lot. Sirianni still kind of makes me nervous because he be doing bonehead stuff.
Yeah.
But I also feel like he's all right. Like, he also,
as long as it's working.
Yeah. Like, he's all right.
As long as you're not in the NFC Championship game and you're going for two when you don't need to go for two in the last 2 minutes of the game, like, Campbell would do.
I'm about to say, him and Campbell are the same exact guy. Mm-hmm. So it would be an interesting clash to see who can make the biggest mistake,
right?
As a coach, who can emotionally ruin their season?
Nah, for real. Like Sirianni's gonna be like, "We're going for it. 4th and 8. We're going for it." Dan Campbell's like, "Oh yeah,
word.
4th and 22. We're going for it, buddy."
Like, "Oh yeah, watch this safety,
right?
We're playing 3D chess over here.
Saquon, run backwards.
We're playing 3D chess over here." But yeah, I don't want to toot our own horn too much, but I'm getting 2017 vibes. That's all I'm saying. Chiefs, I need to see you.
I need that.
I need that, bro. There's so much about that game that pisses me off, mainly the field. But we're not even going to get into it.
Who you got number two?
Dos Equis, I got the Chiefs.
Same.
Like we mentioned, I mean, they are the defending champs. They've only lost one game. So they do have an argument for being the best team, but like we mentioned, 5 out of their 10 wins are in the last possession of the game. That is just nutty statistics. And so at some point you would assume that the buck stops, but it's also Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Yeah.
The modern day Darth Vader, or what's the thing that Darth Vader rides in on?
The Death Star?
The Death Star. Modern day Death Star.
I'm not a Star Wars kind of guy. So I was like, that's why I said like a question.
I'm glad you got it though. That's excellent potting right there.
Yeah, I got the Chiefs at number two. Same everything you just said, which leaves number one, the Detroit Lions.
Freaking Lions. They got to see us.
Yeah.
Last time we played the Lions, we beat them in a 47-40 game. That was the year we went to the Super Bowl. Or was it 43-35? Whatever it was a number, and we barely beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when they had Swift and Williams. And so it's a different animal now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely different now.
But I mentioned this to Kay and Aaron on our way to our touch league game. The Eagles only, I don't want to say only hope because that's not the truth, but our best hope is to find a way to steal that one seed because Jared Goff record in a dome compared to outdoors is. And then Jared Goff's this season has only played 2 games outside and will only play 2 games outside. And so get him in Philly in the cold with his little baby hands and we'll see what's up.
The whopper hands.
You know what I'm saying? Let's see what's up. Like, they're definitely nice, but we've also seen Jared Goff throw 5 picks.
Right.
So.
All right. That leaves us.
We're both bullies as well. So,
yeah.
Two bullies in an alley.
I think that's going to be if y'all meet up in the playoffs NFC Championship game, as y'all should, it's going to be a good game.
That's a bully of a game.
Yeah.
Like, we're literally damn near built the same. Like, both have bully O lines, running games built, defenses doing their thing. Y'all got to see us.
Game manager quarterbacks.
Yes.
Yeah. I know Eagles fans hate hearing that.
Hey, man, I'm fine with it. There's just a bad connotation to it, but win games.
Right.
Win me games, bro. Manage that.
That's what I try to explain to people. Like, it's not a bad thing. Like most teams, all teams are looking for a game manager.
At minimum.
Yeah.
That should be your floor.
I want a guy that's going to win me games.
That's like the floor. If you can't manage the game, you're going to lose his games.
Right. Because like, there's only so many Peyton Mannings, Tom Brady's, Patrick Mahomes,
Aaron Rodgers,
Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. There's only so many of them.
Right.
Like
the rest of y'all are managing the game.
Right. It's like you're a star, or you're a game manager, or you're a backup, or you shouldn't be in the league. Those are your four.
Those are your baskets.
Yeah.
Choose one. So
Jameis Winston fits in every single one.
And that's
depending on the week.
That's the unicorn of Jameis Winston.
All right. So let's jump into week 13. Oh, before we go anywhere, even though these numbers are ugly, our week 12 numbers, I hit at 53%. You hit at 57%. However, before you get to judging, 53% is profitable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're hitting 53% on every single week, you're profitable.
Word.
From what I saw in my studies.
Nice. And I was also dealing with my nonsense of
right.
becoming a diplomatic, my diplomatic immunity.
Right. He wasn't thinking straight. And I was just in here by myself. So
it was a wonky 2 weeks, but we're back to business. We're back to regularly scheduled programming. Lock in with us.
Mm-hmm.
Get any bad beats? Any bad beats?
What do you mean?
Like, lost a parlay because so-and-so did such and such?
Nah, I didn't put any parlays in last week.
I got two.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts needed one more rush yard for me to win $191.
That's depressing.
Depressing. And then I also put in a third quarter parlay because I'm a sicko. And everything else hit besides Dallas Goedert getting 5 receiving yards. It was the last play of the third quarter. Goedert and AJ were both wide open. And he threw it to AJ.
Crazy.
Broke my heart, bro.
Threw it to his best friend.
I almost won like $300 on those two parlays alone. Unfortunate.
Terrible.
But hey, these are the games we play.
It's a new week.
New week.
New week, new parlays, new bets.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of that, new week, new bets, new parlays. We got 4 games to talk about in this episode because we got Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Yeah, it's a doozy.
It's a doozy. All right, we're not going to try and take up too much of y'all time.
Yeah, we already took up. It's 1:20. So let's try to fly through these ones. We got Bears on the road at the Lions. Lions are 10.5-point favorites. What you looking at?
Trying to find my noties. Where the heck is it? Oh, there they are. Bears, Lions. I got Lions -2.5. Shave that thing down a little bit. Alternate spread that thing. -2.5.
I as well have Lions -2.5. Just because it's that divisional game and I don't like the whole divisional thing. I don't like 10.5 in a divisional game.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It's too much.
They're capable, obviously.
Yeah. Like they can easily blow these dudes out by 50. Like it can happen, but it's like divisional game, short week, not a big fan of the huge spread.
Mm-hmm.
Over under in that game is 48.5. I bumped it down, took 41.5 in the over.
Well, did you look at that? I have the same exact thing.
Crazy. We got to put this bet in.
Yeah.
I feel like that should be the rule. If we have the same exact thing on the same exact game, we have to put it in.
All right. I'm about to start leaving a little check mark next to it.
Right.
I'm like, all right, that's a parlay-zy.
Got to put that parlay in.
What's the next game you got?
We got Giants at Cowboys. Cowboys are 4-point favorites.
Nice. Another divisional, John. I got Cowboys money line. You guys are on a tear, 1-0.
We're on a tear. Oh, brother.
Back-to-back divisional wins. Now y'all, you know what I'm saying, just slowly creep your way back to that 7 seed. That
7 seed, baby.
Yes, sir.
Go on a run.
Nice. You're all last season's Packers. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, you never know. Nah, imagine Cooper the Cowboys Rush. Make a run.
Cooper Rush.
And then they're just like, what do we do with Dak Prescott? Cooper Rush is the guy.
Like, what do we do? This guy, Cooper Rush, like, you hear the name.
Nah, what would really happen would Cooper Rush would get paid a lot of money to go play quarterback for, like, the Browns or something. Somebody really bad. We're just like, we just need a quarterback. And then he'd be terrible.
Yeah.
Over under in that game is 38. I bumped it up to 51.5 and took the under.
I hear that. I bumped it down to 31.5 with the OVO.
Wait, I never gave you my pick on that game.
Which one?
The
Bears, Lions?
Nah, Giants, Cowboys.
Oh, you didn't.
Hold on, you said 31.5 in the over?
31.5 in the OVO.
I took the Giants +10.5.
Okay.
I don't trust the Cowboys.
You just don't want them to win.
I don't.
That's all
it is. I don't. Not any part of me wants them to win.
I don't see Drew Lock winning.
Yeah, nah.
Your defense is still all
right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all going to mess around and score a defensive touchdown. I might put money on it.
Yo, Trayvon Diggs and Zach Martin didn't even play last week. Like, they literally were just like, yeah, let's just pack the season in. Like, we're good. Let's not get these guys hurt. And they won.
Yeah. They're going to do it again.
Right. Maybe they're the problem. Nah.
Maybe.
Trayvon Diggs, maybe, but not Zach Martin.
We're going to package them for a first round pick.
Imagine.
Playing Madden out here.
Right.
What's the next game?
Next game, we got Dolphins at Packers. Packers are 3-point favorites.
That's a good game. I like it on paper. For my money, I got Packers money line.
The Pack money line. I got Dolphins +7.5. I think they can at least keep it close.
Mm-hmm. I hear that.
I wouldn't even be surprised if they won.
Honestly, Dolphins have been doing their thing. That's why I just went with the money line because I don't really know what to do with it.
Right. Over under in that game is 47. I bumped it down to 41.5 and took the over.
I hear that. I got it down to 43.5 with the over.
43.5 and the over. Got you. And then we got a Black Friday game. Raiders at Chiefs. Chiefs are 13-point favorites.
The NFL is just out here trying to take over the entire week, huh?
Yep.
Madness. I got the Raiders plus 10. Divisional game stuff. Chiefs love to play the competition. They're going to find a way to have the Raiders cover. Plus 10.
I got Chiefs minus 2.5. They have to win by at least a field goal. I feel like with the spread being 13, if they're shaving points, they're not going to shave it that much. They're not going to be like, oh, we're only going to win by one. They'll mess around and win by six just to throw the spread off, shave them points. So, yeah, I got Chiefs minus 2.5. Over-under in that game is 42.5. I bumped it up to 53.5 and took the under.
I hear that. We're in the same boat, different paddles. I got 51.5 in the under.
51.5 in the undie. All right, that leaves us with our Thanksgiving and Black Friday parlay pie.
The parlay peasy.
Even though I don't think we did. Yeah, we didn't put anything for the Black Friday. So, yeah, it's just a Thanksgiving parlay pie.
Oh, yeah, we completely forgot to Thanksgiving yeah. that, John.
I don't like it anyway.
It's all good.
I don't want anything from that part. I don't want to bet anything on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I don't trust them.
I'm done with them. And I don't care for the Raiders, so.
Right.
So with that.
So, yeah, we got a Thanksgiving parlay pie where we're going to give you a player prop from each game from each of us.
Hmm.
Nice. I'll start you off. I got a Amon-Ra St. Brown anytime touchdown.
I like that. That sounds like a good bet. My money, I got Jahmyr Gibbs anytime touchdown.
I like it. Especially because Gibbs and Montgomery, they both been getting in the end zone.
Literally. It's crazy.
So, yeah, even if you want to throw an add-on for that game, Montgomery, anytime touchdown, the Lions are going to put up points is what they do.
I had a parlay last week where it was Gibbs, Montgomery, and St. Brown. St. Brown's the one that let me down.
Dang. I feel like...
He's due, though.
Yeah, he's going to score because it's Thanksgiving. Everyone's watching. He needs to get in the end zone.
They got
some kind of goofy
exactly.
celebration.
Like, exactly. Agreed.
For the Cowboys game, I got CeeDee Lamb over 6.5 receptions.
Okay. The old reception whore. I like that. For my money, I got Tyrone Tracy plus 50 alternate rushing receiving yards. Sounds like a gimme.
Definitely. I see him getting that first half.
Fingers crossed.
For the Packers-Dolphins game, I have Josh Jacobs over 50-plus rushing yards.
All right. I hear that. He's been eating. I got Jonnu Smith, 4-plus receptions.
Jonnu Smith over 4?
Yes, sir.
I like it.
All right, let's parlay this thing real quick. Hold on a second. I wish I could push a button. Let's see. Nope, buttons still don't work. I went on out the country, came back. Buttons still don't work. All right, so I put 16 on it. 16 to win 169.
That ain't bad.
I like that number.
This guy's like horny.
I like it. I'm trying to fuck. So, nah, 16 to win 169, that's not bad. Little six-legger. We're going to put it in.
Yeah.
Lock like it in, it. People.
I like it. So, yeah, there's your Sunday spreads for Thanksgiving.
Long awaited.
Yeah. Yeah. The duo is back. Shaq and Kobe back in action. So, yeah, on that note, man. Hey, remember, before we get out of here, disclaimer. I know I don't want to keep y'all too long, but disclaimer, we are not professionals, so I need y'all to bet responsibly. I know Thanksgiving, y'all going to be listening to this before the food come out, before the games come out, you're going to be prepping, just sitting there doing whatever you're doing, you're cooking. I need you to not get too drunk and then just start betting irresponsibly and then blame Sunday spreads. Put the coquito down. That's what it's called. yeah, put it down. This ain't what you need to do. If you want to bet on the parlay, but don't be going crazy betting the mortgage because your whole family going to be there. You're going to lose. And now what you going to do?
You're going to blame Sunday spreads.
Blame Sunday spreads.
And they're going to be like, what the hell is that?
Right. And then you're going to say, hey, listen. But then they're not going to listen. So now you're messing up our bread.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be like, why would we listen if they set you up to lose?
Here we go. You're just going down a spiral.
Yeah.
Just bet responsibly.
Please.
That's the big picture.
That's all we ask.
That's bet micro and macro.
Exactly. Yeah, on that note, man, we out of here.
To send you guys off from a quote from a great poet, any real racer knows it don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning is winning. And that was by Dom Toretto.
Yo. Word to family. Hold on. Before we go anywhere, I have a quick tangent. If you are one of the people that keep the Fast and Furious franchise alive, I'm not going to say don't listen, but I have a problem with you. Like, why are we still making them? After Tokyo Drift, things got so ridiculous. Why is Vin Diesel a superhero?
Yeah. He's a superhero / super agent.
Right.
/ geneticist.
Yo, I saw him in the preview catch a car. A car flipped. It's in the air. He's standing on top of a car and he caught it.
Madness.
I saw him stomp. He's standing on top of a parking garage and stomped and the whole thing collapsed. Is he Goku? Is Don Toretto Goku?
Already. I seen a YouTube video. It was actually a really long video. I don't know why I sat through the whole thing, but it was really riveting. He basically ranked all of the ridiculous Fast and the Furious moments in all of the movies. And he had like a scale of like, the scale was even hilarious. I wish I remembered it verbatim, but it was a good watch. It's a good watch.
It's crazy. Like, the people that keep the Fast and the Furious franchise going are the same people that allow Jake Paul to do what he does. And I don't want to hear, oh, he's made these people millions of dollars. Yes, I understand that. But he is doing a terrible disservice to boxing. Like, you just fought Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson looked terrible. Did you watch that?
I did not.
Don't.
I was dealing with nonsense. Well, not actually, at that point, it was a good out of the country trip. So it wasn't nonsense yet.
It was bad. Like, it was like Mike Tyson could barely move.
Yeah.
It was a struggle to watch. So yeah, it's all y'all fault. I blame you for everything bad in the world.
You just had me thinking of all the ridiculous Fast and Furious moments.
It's terrible.
You remember there was a point where they were driving a car through like different glass buildings?
Yes. 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 It's terrible. And people go, like, when they drop Fast and Furious 27, they're like, oh my God, I have to see this. Family.
Then they had the spinoffs with, yes, like, what was it, Shaw and whatever.
Hobbs and Shaw?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then they had a spinoff from the spinoff that spun back the movies to intertwine them all. Like, what are y'all doing?
Like, the Asian dude died in one movie and then just came back.
No speaking of nothing.
Nothing. They were just like, yeah, Han, he's still here. Never left. No, he died in Tokyo Drift. I watched it.
We seen it.
That was the last good one. Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, Bow Wow was in it.
Bow Wow was in, driving the Hulk car. Mike Winchell from Friday Night Lights was in it. Yep. He was the main character.
Yep. That was definitely a weird plug.
For sure.
Like, when I see it, I'm like, how'd you make it to Tokyo, kid? You went from the gridiron to Tokyo.
Right. He was just a quarterback in Odessa, Texas in 1988. What
now
are you doing
you
here?
Bow Wow are fighting for your lives in Tokyo. Like,
against Asian people. Against Japanese people. Amazing. Named Tran.
Amazing. And then Don shows up at the end.
Right.
Talking about
American muscle. Shut up. Yo, what is Vin Diesel?
How'd you get this car over here anyways, bro? Aren't you a fugitive?
Right. Is Vin Diesel white?
Yes.
I feel like he's just like not a normal white.
There's also rumors that he might be gay.
Oh.
Yes. That's a pod for another day.
Right. He's like the gay pit bull.
That's probably why him and The Rock be beefing.
Nah, that's crazy.
Too much male hormones bouncing off each other. Bald head male hormones.
The fact that you quoted Don Toretto. Yo, he sat here for like 5 to 10 minutes looking for a quote to say. He picked Don Toretto. He was like, yo, I got one. He was like, it's a little weird, but I got one. Like, I did not expect that to be.
The funny thing is, bro, my original quote that I was trying to find was actually a Fast and Furious quote still.
That's hilarious.
Which got me to this one. But the original quote I was looking for, if you remember, the wild tangent, because we're still here, it was the scene where Paul Walker's character was going through Vin Diesel's garage in the first movie. Mm-hmm. And then he asked him, like, what is he doing here? He's like, Ricky Tan came in here. He bought two twin jets. He's riding a... I'm like, I was about to go off on that one. But it's like, it's hard to squeeze it in.
Right, just do a whole scene?
Yeah, literally.
Man.
Are you a cop?
That's crazy.
I'm not a cop.
Ejectocito, cuz.
Ejectocito, cuz. I don't want to talk about it, cuz.
Yo.
Excellent meme.
Nah, for real. I posted you laughed at it.
It's an excellent meme. I've seen it from multiple occasions.
I said, I don't want to talk about it, cuz. What? Paul Walker?
Oh, good stuff.
Comedy.
Good times.
All right, man.
Shout out Wiz Khalifa.
Shout out Wiz Khalifa. And it's for these parlays.
It's been a long way without you.
Yo,
my
that
friend.
Song took over the world because of that, that scene.
Cut
yo, man, we out.